Hey, hey, hey. Greetings from upstate New York. Welcome to the Pastor Duke Podcast. I'm so glad you chose to tune me in today. Hope to be a blessing. I have my Bible open to Matthew 16, the first passage I ever preached. My first sermon, I was at my public high school. My life had been so radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had gone down to apologize to the principal, ask his forgiveness for being such a jerk, began to give my story, and he stopped me. I thought he was going to throw me out of the office. He did not stop me. In that sense, he said, no, I want to hear what you have to say, but I want the whole school to hear your story, how one of the first drug dealers in our school had been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I got to give my testimony to the whole school, got to preach my first sermon. My text was Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting Jesus, desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. They weren't really seeking. They were just trying to trick him up, but he didn't fall for their plans. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. You see, God wants us to be able to discern the signs of the time. Well, for that group of people, it was the first advent of Jesus. For us, we would be trying to discern the signs of the times for the second advent of Jesus. That's the theme of today's message, how to discern the signs of the times. You know, in actual time, you need to learn the face of the clock, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and the hands of the clock. The little hand points to the hour, and the big hand points to the minutes. You'll need to learn to tell time. Today, we have it kind of confused with digital clocks, but even then, you need to know that the first number stands for the hour, and the second set of numbers stands for the minutes. Learning the face of the clock, the placement of the hands is how we tell time in a physical way. Well, to discern the signs of the time, you must know the face of biblical prophecy, and you must know the hands of times. God gave us the end from the beginning, Isaiah told us. You must learn to see the prophetic big picture. I do that in my podcast. If you'll listen, especially to the prophetic podcast, you'll see how I hit the main prophetic chapters of the Bible. And when you get that locked in place, you have laid a foundation to begin to understand the signs of the time, to have that prophetic discernment, knowing the big picture. Prophecy begins in the Garden of Eden. Immediately after Adam and Eve sin, God shows up. He speaks judgment to Satan in Genesis 3. Through the seed of a woman, I will destroy you, Satan. You see, Satan had rebelled against God, tried to take over heaven, was cast out, comes, and hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, those who chose to follow him in heaven's rebellion. They were cast to the earth. That's where we have the demons. Well, misery loves company. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If I'm going to hell, he wants everyone to go to hell. And so that was his goal, to come to earth, to do exactly the same thing here that he had failed to do in heaven, to take over, to sit on the throne of planet earth and declare himself to be God, we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That was in Satan's heart from the beginning. And Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy. It's a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, a redeemer, a savior, veiled language, through the seed of a woman. A woman without a man having a child, how could that be? Oh, Isaiah clarified that a bit when he said, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, not just any child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God prophesied that he would clothe himself in human flesh through the seed of a woman. A virgin would conceive, and the Redeemer would come through the seed of a woman. The first Bible prophecy. Satan was listening. What is his goal? To stop the work of God. And so Satan throughout the Old Testament is going to try to stop the coming of the Redeemer. Well, God puts his focus prophetically in Genesis chapter 12 on an old man named Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. He calls him out and says to Abraham what we would call the Abrahamic covenant. It's fivefold. Number one, Abraham, I'll make of you a great and mighty nation. Now, that's going to take a miracle because they're already well past the age of childbearing. So God is in the miracle working business. He likes to do things in such a way that those who are watching know that it's supernatural. This is not the work of man. This is clearly the work of God. So number one, Abraham, I'll make of you a great and mighty nation. Number two, I'll give you your own land, the land of Israel today. Number three, I'll bless those who bless you. Four, I'll curse those who curse you. Number five, and this is really big, this is what applies to all of us, who, especially who follow Jesus, from your seed, one will come from your seed, your genealogy, your family tree, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's talking about the Messiah. That's talking about Jesus. And the whole rest of the Old Testament is the unfolding of the battle between God and Satan as Satan tries to stop the messianic seed from coming. All of history will unfold from this prophecy. You got to know what you're looking for. Jesus would come the first time, the first advent, we would say, as the Lamb of God to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. He comes the first time as the Lamb of God. He comes the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's when he comes back to set up the kingdom. That's when the lion lies down with the lamb. That's when the evil beast of the field will cease. It will dwell safely in the wilderness, sleep in the woods. David will be a prince. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, and Jesus will be on the throne. That's the dream, the messianic dream for all of us. Heaven on earth, the paradise lost in Genesis will be regained in Revelation. You see, the Bible has 66 books, but it's one book. It has 44 human authors, maybe 45, but it has one divine author. That's God himself. So we see God putting in prophecies throughout the Old Testament pointing to the coming of a Redeemer. That was the first one. Later on, the Messiah would be born of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. He would be born of the lineage of King David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Davidic covenant, when God makes the covenant with David, one from his family tree would sit upon the throne of Israel and ultimately the world forever. So we have all these prophecies coming about Jesus, the Redeemer. He'll be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, born of a virgin. He will come out of Egypt, and we have Joseph fleeing to Egypt from the wrath of Herod. That prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus comes from Egypt. When Herod dies, he's raised in Nazareth. He shall be called a Nazarene. And so all of these prophecies about Jesus in his first advent were fulfilled. The people who lived at the time of Jesus, who knew the word of God, knew what to look for. So when they saw Jesus, they had questions. Who's your great-great-great-granddaddy? Abraham through Judah of the lineage of David. And so all of that was fulfilled. And then, of course, the passion of Jesus, the death of Jesus, 16 different prophecies were fulfilled in the crucifixion that were given in Psalm 22, 1,000 years before the crucifixion. See, prophecy has always been God's indicator. Jesus put it this way. He framed it in these words. Behold, I tell you before it happens. Why? So that when you see it happen, you'll kind of know what's happening. You'll be able to connect the dots. That is in the heart of God for you and I, that we are able to discern the signs of the times. So we have so many prophecies concerning the first advent of Jesus, fulfilled, fulfilled, fulfilled to the letter. That's what gives us such great confidence as we look at the prophecies concerning the second advent of Jesus Christ. We know what Jesus said from Matthew 24. We call this the Olivet Discourse. He's on the Mount of Olives speaking to his disciples. They're asking, when are you going to return? He says, no man knows the day or the hour, but when you begin to see all these things come to pass, it's so important. It was recorded again in Mark 13 and in Luke chapter 21, the Olivet Discourse. So for us to be able to discern the signs of the times, we need, number one, to study the scriptures, be thoroughly discerning, understanding of the layout of prophetic scriptures. Number two, be a student of history. Number three, follow the real news. I think most of you who follow my podcast understand what's called the news is really propaganda. Satan is the prince and power of the mainstream media, in my view. I think most of what we hear on the mainstream media is really not news at all. It's propaganda. It's staged events that keep us from the real news. It is an agenda towards globalism. It is the voice of Satan calling things that the Bible would call good, they call evil. What we would see evil, they call it good. And so you need to develop some real news sources. I perhaps should do a whole podcast on that. Well, when we follow the real news and we have an understanding of a biblical prophecy, Israel is the key, Jerusalem, not Washington, D.C., not the European Union, not the Communist Chinese Party or Putin in Russia or a little fat rocket man in North Korea. Israel is always the key historically and prophetically to understand the signs of the times. One must learn the chronology of the book of Revelation. It's pretty simple. Let me give it to you in a nutshell. Revelation 1 through 3, we have God's message to the seven churches of Asia, commending them for their strengths, challenging them and correcting them for their errors. Chapter 4 and 5 begins with a door in heaven opening. Jesus says, I am the door. There's a trumpet that sounds. All of the rapture verses have a trumpet. The trumpet sounds. The door is opened. A voice cries up, come up hither. I believe the rapture of the church is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Because Revelation 1 through 3, we have the church, the church, the church, the church, Christ walking in the midst of the church, chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. Was that just John to see what's going on? I believe it was the whole church, because when we get in Revelation 4 and 5, there's a huge crowd out of every nation, kindred, and tribe. What are they doing? They're worshiping the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and dominion and power both now and forever. Revelation 4 and 5 is the heavenly scene of worship. Revelation 6 through 19, we have the unfolding of the tribulation, 7-year period of time predicted by Daniel chapter 9 and other passages, the tribulation period. Revelation 6, we see the rise of the Antichrist riding in on a white horse of peace, but soon it's followed by red horse of war and the pale horse of death and famine. In Revelation chapter 7, we have 144,000 Jewish witnesses, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. What is their job? To spread the gospel to the world that's left behind after the rapture of the church. You see, it's the church's job to spread the knowledge of the gospel to the world. But when the church is raptured out, God has to have another voice. And so we have Israel cut off with the crucifixion of Jesus. We have Jesus establishing his church. At the rapture, Jesus, the groom, comes to take his bride, the church, to his father's house. In my father's house are many mansions. We're not, so I would have told you all that John chapter 14 fulfilled to the letter. As the church goes home, God resumes his plan with the nation of Israel for 7 more years called the tribulation. Immediately, he rises up 144,000 Jewish witnesses take the gospel to the world now that the church has been raptured. So we understand the chronology from studying the scriptures, book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, the 7-year tribulation. Revelation 13, huge chapter, we're at the middle of the tribulation where the Antichrist comes from prominence to power. He institutes the mark of the beast. He receives the verification, the loyalty, the strength, the endorsement of the false prophet. We have kind of a state religion established. The Antichrist, the political, the false prophet, the religious, spiritual side of things uniting together. And we have the mark of the beast. Totalitarianism is here. The 666, a cashless society, a completely controlled society. Now, let me give an illustration. If you were to come to my house, didn't know what time of day it was, but you walked in and you saw on the table bacon and eggs, orange juice, toast, and coffee, you'd probably think it's morning time because that's a breakfast meal. That's just a kind of a little simple illustration of what I'm talking about. You kind of know what the American diet is. You see that on the table. It tells you that it's morning. I think that illustrates. The Bible tells us what to look for. And then when we see what we were told to look for happen, then we'll kind of know what's happening. We'll be able to connect the dots. As the generation at the first advent of Jesus, they knew what to look for. Where were you born? Let me see your family tree. And then, of course, as the crucifixion unfolded, if they had their Bible open to Psalm 22 and then just watched him on the cross, compassed about by the Romans, they bartered for his garment, they pierced his hands and his feet, he cried out, I thirst. All of that given prophetically 1,000 years before he came. And so here it is, our generation. We were told by Jesus, by the prophets, by the apostles, especially in the book of Revelation, exactly what to look for. We would look for nations to dissolve into globalism. Satan must have a globalist political organization to have control of the world. Nationalism must die to globalism. So we see globalism is coming. At the close of World War I, we needed to organize the world a little bit better. So we had the League of Nations, 1918, which became the United Nations in 1948, I think was the year, soon after World War II. We would not be surprised to see the emergence of a World Bank, a World Economic Summit, a Global Economic Reset, which is pending, a World Health Organizations. The WHO, the World Health Organization, who funds it, mostly U.S., who controls it, mostly China. We see at the foundation development control level direction of the World Health Organization, the names of Bill Gates, George Soros, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And so the world would tell us, the globalist view, that they're the good guys, that they have the well-being of the world population in their heart to do that which is best for the world. I've not quite seen it that way. I've listened to Bill Gates and his interest in global population reduction. I've seen the results of some of his earlier vaccines in India, where he is now banned because of the sterilization of hundreds of thousands of young Indian women who took the vaccines in good faith and turned out now to be sterile. Is that coincidence? Is that time and chance? Or is that plan and purpose? These are not ignorant and unlearned men in control directing these things behind the scenes. We see the Bilderberg Group meeting the big in Davos, Switzerland each year, unelected people, powerful people who control a lot of the money and where it goes and what gets funded and what doesn't. We see the United Nations Agenda 21 kind of name changed to Agenda 2030. Under the Trump administration, a lot of the globalist plans got set back a few years, and now they have the pedal to the metal under the Biden administration continuing full speed ahead towards a globalist agenda. I don't think that all these people are just evil people. I just believe they're deceived people. I believe they're tools of Satan, that he uses these people to accomplish his global centralization of power, where they'll have the planning of a global redistribution of wealth, the redistribution of resources, of food, as medicine. It all sounds so good. You know, we want to have equality and fairness and redistribution of wealth. This is all for the good of the people. Well, I think we also need to understand Satan, his agenda, and his tactics. Jesus told us that he was the father of all lies, that he was a murderer from the beginning. He seeks control. He is the great deceiver. He will package evil things in a presentation that makes it sound so good. In Agenda 21, we have the redistribution of wealth. And we also have the controlled development, you know, having a nations in the world to be able to have just accordingly. So Satan's goal is control. He's a deceiver. He'll package evil things, call them good. Sustainable growth. Oh, who's not for sustainable growth? Economically sustainable growth, agriculturally sustainable growth in reference to resources. We're all for that. But when you read in the small print, they're really talking about the reduction of human population from 7.4 billion people to 500 million. They don't really pull that up front and center. You kind of got to dig into the small print of the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 to see really what's going on there. So they make good things look evil. You know, those of us who stand for historic Judeo-Christian morality, one man with one woman for life, heterosexuality is the plan to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, those of us who still hold to that, now it's called hate speech. Who do you think you are? We're called homophobes. We're being censored. We're being threatened. It's hate speech. You're homophobes. Well, you see how Satan, the prince and power of the air, has control of things and makes bad things look good and make good things look bad. That's his agenda. That's how he's always done it. You know, as the COVID-19 thing was unfolding over a year ago, I was listening, and it was so sudden, and it was not just national, it was global. It was affecting the world's economy. We see James prophesied that in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, there would be an economic collapse in the time of the end. Quit ye now, you rich men, howl and weep your gold and silver cankered. It's worthless. Your money is now worthless. And so we're kind of looking for that because the scriptures told us that it would unfold. And that began to happen with COVID-19, the world lockdown. And as I think I had a moment when things really hit me. I said, you know what? They're calling it a pandemic, but it looks to me like it might be a plandemic. And when I had that moment is when I saw hydroxychloroquine being touted by 190,000 doctors around the country united together to say, this stuff works. We have a cure for COVID-19. And they gave their results. Boy, they was pulled from YouTube, and we saw censorship come in full speed ahead. When had there ever been a fight against a cure for a disease? Oh my goodness. That's when the red lights really begin to flash with me that this is not just a pandemic. It's a plandemic. So cures not wanted for COVID-19. Vaccines wanted. Warp speed vaccines. That doesn't belong in the same sentence. Trump was trumpeting quick vaccine. I think it was for political reasons he was doing that. And he said they would be optional. We have a cure. He touted that. He was persecuted for saying that hydroxychloroquine and other drugs are good therapeutics to help fight the COVID-19 virus. But it's all focused on vaccines. And I knew that the vaccines that they're talking about were going to be mandatory. And sure enough, it wasn't long until our governor, Andrew Cuomo, who put COVID-19 patients back into the rest homes, where we saw thousands of our elderly perish because of the COVID-19 virus. And then he covered up the death of 6,000 of them that it came up. And somehow he still remains in office, writing books about how great a job he did and running again for office. Oh, the Soviet state of New York, where God called me to preach. Well, we have the Empire Pass now, a vax pass that's just about here. You know, you're in or you're out. They just want to get this vaccine in us. They want to get this vaccine in our kids. The vaccine, you're in or you're out. If you're vaccinated, you're a good guy. If you're not vaccinated, you're a bad guy. And I don't care where people stand on the vaccine. The important thing about the vaccine for me is this. It's mandatory. And what we're seeing now with vaccines is just the beginning. I've listened in on the Fauci-Gates debate with the World Health Organization, their future plans to stay ahead of future pandemics. Isn't that interesting? Staying ahead of the curve. So we'll be ready next time. Oh my goodness. I think I smell the devil in the details. These vaccines are not at all like historic vaccines, skipping the animal trials. I find that interesting. The traceability factor, never in vaccinations before, never a modified RNA type of chemistry, modified human genome, human 2.0, transhumanism, all these new terms emerging in the light of these new vaccines. Well, Jesus worded it like this. I think I said this just a moment ago. Behold, I tell you before it happens. Why? So when you watch it happen, you'll know what's happening. I think those of us who want to have an ability to discern the signs of the times should really master the big prophecy chapters of the Bible. I mentioned the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The social signs are given. This know also that in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. The signs socially, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Men lovers of their own selves, more than lovers of God. Jude tells us it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. The LGBT XYZ group will have gained strong prominence in the media, getting strength in the education system, presenting that lifestyle as an optional lifestyle at tax dollars expense, the voice of Judeo-Christian morality separated from the public arena because we have to have separation of church and state, and whereas their voice is the voice that controls the media, their voice is the voice that controls the public school training, the young minds of, I think, the terminal generation. Sodom is back. If God was going to give a movie title to America today, I think it would be Sodom 2. So we have the social signs given in 2 Timothy 3. We have in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the rise of the Antichrist, where he sits on the throne in Jerusalem, claiming that he is God. We see the sequence, the unfolding of events. When will the Antichrist appear? 2 Thessalonians 2 says, he who now letteth will let the Holy Spirit until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit lives in believers. When is the Holy Spirit taken out of the devil's way? The rapture of the church. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So prophecy with prophecy with prophecy, like fitting together a jigsaw puzzle. You start out with a frame, the edging pieces are flat, they're easy to find, and the blue ones are the sky, they go up here, and the green ones are the grass, they go down at the bottom, and the red barn off to the side, those little red pieces, they go west where the barn will be, you know, they're going to be on the left and not on the right, because we have the master plan, we have the picture right in front of us, so we can get a little piece and know where to put it. And that's how Bible prophecy is. When you know the Word of God, when you know the prophetic timeline from the book of Revelation, you master the main prophecy chapters of the Bible, Ezekiel 38, the coming war with Russia, Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel 7, Daniel's dream, the rise and fall of the great world empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, Rome phase 1, Rome phase 2, the time of the Antichrist, Daniel 9, the prophecy concerning those last days, the rise of the Antichrist, his first political event, confirming a covenant, a peace treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, he who looked like the answer man to the Jewish people, looked like their friend, becomes their worst enemy. So we see these major chapters of the Bible laying out the prophetic future of the planet, all pointing to the second coming of Christ. And that model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see the timeline. We see it all unfolding. It all fits together. You know, if I were to see globalism going away, falling to nationalism, it would tell me not to expect Christ coming for a while. We bought more time. If I were to see the world economic thing solidifying, the value of the dollar being sustained, world commerce doing well, it would be a sign. It would tell me not to expect the coming of the Lord soon. But it's all happening as the prophet said it would. You know, here's a huge little set of facts I want to kind of close out with today about how these facts that no one's arguing might be a huge indicator of what time it is on the prophetic clock. It's world population figures. You know, at the time of Jesus Christ, the whole world population, 250 million people. It wasn't until the year 1830 when the world reached a population of 1 billion. All those thousands of years, the evolutionists would say millions of years, to get 1 billion people on the planet. But it only took 100 years, 1930, to get 2 billion people. 30 years from 1930 to 1960, now we have 3 billion. They started talking about population explosion. Only 15 years, 1975, 4 billion. 15 more years, 1990, 5 billion. Fast forwarding to 2021, 7.4 billion people on the planet. And the World Health Organization's Bill Gates, George Soros, thinks that's way too many people. Well, they have their view, I have mine, but it's interesting. Those are the facts. And then we look at the toxicity of the planet. We see the toxicity of our water supply, the contamination of our fresh water, the contamination of our food, the chemical farming, Roundup Ready, genetically modified plants to enable the use of Roundup to kill the weeds. Yes, it's increased corn production from 60, 80 bushels per acre to 180 to 220. Yes, that's a good thing, but it's genetically modified food. It's raised in chemical conditions, and look what's happening, the advance of cancer on every level, autoimmune diseases. And so there's a lot of bad stuff happening medically. It's coming from the contamination of the planet. 98% of all the water on the planet Earth is salt water. Only 2% is fresh water. 50% of the fresh water is locked up in the polar ice caps. We can't use it. Everything living, plant and animal, all people dependent on 1% of the fresh water that is available to us to sustain life on planet Earth. A lot of that water is being contaminated. We're having water shortages in Western United States, and been a problem in the Middle East forever. California having water issues like never before. And so when you put all that together and we see the pollution of the planet, it's telling us that it might be the terminal generation. We see Bill Gates wanting to seed the atmosphere to block out the sun, to reduce global warming as he would see it. And you know, Bill Gates is not the savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the savior of mankind, not George Soros, not liberal politics, not conservative politics. It all comes down to you and I are sinners and we need a savior. God prophetically told us that a redeemer would come. Satan tried to stop him. Satan failed. The Bible prophesied that that redeemer, that same one, Jesus, would come again. And when he came again as a lion of the tribe of Judah, he would set up his kingdom. Just prior to that, the Antichrist arises, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Send the Antichrist to a lake of fire. Satan himself bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Jesus sets up his kingdom. And so here we are living in those days when all these things are coming to pass. The hardware is here. The software is here. The mark of the beast is here, is ready to be unfolded. I think the vaccines are a segue to the mark of the beast. I think there's going to be a lot more push for these vaccines to be mandatory, although I think we'll have a little time before that really totally unfolds. But I think we got new vaccines coming, and they'll be the tool of Satan to just kind of control the world medically, control the world economically, control the world at every level. And so the main event that above all of this is not vaccines, it's not COVID, it's not left-wing politics or right-wing politics. The big sign that you and I have in our face, good news for us who love Jesus, and it should be scary news for those who reject him, Israel's home. 1948, Satan tried to take him out in the Holocaust, and he nearly did. But again, he failed, and God had waiting for them to return to the land that God gave to Abraham and took through Joshua, the land where Jesus was born, the land where Jesus will return to, the land where Jesus himself will sit on the throne of the earth, that he'll dethrone the Antichrist, and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords here. It's all laid out. History is no mystery. Behold, I've told you before, so that when you see it happen, you'll know what's happening. So I hope you know what's happening. I hope you're ready. I hope you've given your heart to Jesus. I don't... Don't let it get you down as you listen to the news and you listen to the devil's lies. All these things must happen before he comes to pass. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart hot for God. Keep your hand on the plow. Be faithful to your local church. Live for God. Hey, thanks for joining me today. Like, subscribe, share with your friends. Help me get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Hope this is a blessing to you today. Hey, God bless. Love you. Stay awesome. Bye-bye for now.